Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day, and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." This is the gospel of the Lord, the good news. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. It's the busy time of year in our house. Yes, I am busy with the usual things, but mostly it is a busy time of year in our house because Emily is deep in rehearsals for a Christmas carol at the Guthrie. My wife Emily, as many of you may know, but some of you may not, is an actor here in the Twin Cities, and for several years now, has had the honor and privilege and joy to be a part of A Christmas Carol at the Guthrie Theater. How many of you have seen A Christmas Carol at the Guthrie? How many of you have seen A Christmas Carol in some other form? How many of you have seen A Muppet Christmas Carol? That's one of our favorites, for sure. Well, Emily, right now, even though she's here singing with us this morning, which is very lucky, this time of year, Emily is just beginning this week the technical rehearsals for Christmas Carol. That means the rehearsals where they start to put in the costumes and the lights and the sound and the props and all of that stuff that makes the fullness of that Charles Dickens classic story come alive for audiences this time of year. This means long days, long nights, and a lot of work. But what work it is to tell that story, right, babe? Christmas Carol. Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. Ebenezer Scrooge, who on a fateful night is visited by three spirits. The spirit of Christmas past, the spirit of Christmas present, and the spirit of Christmas yet to come. Each of these spirits present a vision of the world that goes both beyond Ebenezer Scrooge and also deep within him at the same time. A vision each presented that humbles him, that softens his very rough edges, and that helps him to see the world and himself in a new way, and allows him to be fully awake and aware to the present moment. It is a story, yes, of greed. Ebenezer Scrooge was a stingy old man, a greedy man. But it is also a story of grief. Grief for lost love. Grief for the death of a trusted colleague and friend. Grief for what once was. And yet, on Christmas morning, Scrooge is awakened as if for the first time, gleeful to have cheated death, to have found redemption, to be experiencing repentance in real time. The sheer glee of Scrooge's newfound vision of the world is contagious. That is why I'm sure for so many this event at the Guthrie is a yearly holiday tradition. Families from all over the five-state area gather, sometimes even in matching sweaters, to relive this story again and again and again. For many of them, well, it just ain't Christmas without it. Like A Christmas Carol, our gospel text this morning from Luke's gospel deals with the economics of power and greed, and the striation of society, the separation between the haves and the have-nots, the Ebenezers and the Tiny Tims of the world. These beatitudes from Jesus can be challenging words. Challenging to the status quo of, well, just how the world works. They can even be challenging to many of us who might find ourselves in more privileged positions than others in our community. These words can poke us right in the small underbelly of our own sense of worth and our own sense of values. But much like Dickens's old story, this sermon that Jesus offers is about more than just who's in and who's out. This sermon that Jesus speaks to the crowd is about a vision of the present, the past, and what is yet to come. In his polemicized description of the kingdom of God, the as yet unrealized and still unfolding promise of life beyond death, Jesus provides his audience with a new way of seeing their lives, of recognizing what life had been like for them and for their parents and for their parents' parents, and shows them a new way of seeing one another and the world around them, all while promising them the glory that awaits. This Sunday, we gather here together, as we often do, to hear an ancient tale or two, to sing some old songs, to pray the prayers of our ancestors. We gather around this table to break bread in an ancient way. We light our candles and we practice our well-worn traditions. To many, it may seem that we are stuck in the past, This Sunday, this All Saints Sunday, we gather especially to remember those who have left this journey. We gather our grief and our joyful thanksgivings as we look back on who they were and what they meant to us. And in the midst of all of this remembrance and this revisiting of old stories and dearly departed friends and loved ones, we hear words of promise, words of that which is to come, words that are comforting, words that assure us of God's enduring presence in our lives and in our deaths, and the promise that death has lost its sting in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. But just as we remember, and just as we look forward, here we stand, right now. In the verses just before our reading this morning, we are offered a description of the scene surrounding this sermon. Luke writes, "He came down with them," Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And everyone in the crowd was trying to touch him, for power came out of him and healed them all. Jesus comes down to them. Jesus meets people where they are, offers them a vision of the future, reminds them of their past, and shows them a new way to live today. Beyond the blessings and the woes of this sermon on the plain or the level place, we hear from Jesus how to live our lives today. Led by the example of those who came before us and filled with the promise that awaits us all, the way of gratitude, humility, and generosity that grounds us here and now. Jesus, speaking to the crowds at eye level, firmly in the present among them, talks about the nature of the kingdom of God, that which is yet to come, and offers them a chance to repent. That is, to remember what the past looked like and to change directions. Jesus calls on us, face to face, to recognize the capacity we have right here and right now to begin to realize a better future for all. Jesus reminds us that to live close to God is to live closer to one another. To encounter one another in the here and now, remembering that we are called to serve where we may have before scoffed. To share where we once may have shrieked. To love where once we might have loathed. To live our lives in loving care for one another. So today, as we remember those we have lost, as we reflect upon all the things they taught us about life and love and faith, and as we yearn for that which is to come, the full realization of God's kingdom where we will see them once again, our loved ones, let us also plant our feet firmly in the earth we stand upon. Let us feel the weight of ourselves in this world. And let us act with great generosity, with humble gratitude. And let us lead lives of love. Let us turn our bah humbugs to shouts of newfound joy. And let us cease the counting of our riches and multiply our giving to all who are in need. We have been great beneficiaries of the love and generosity and faith of those who came before us, who showed us the way. And we are surely the great inheritors of God's promise in Christ Jesus. But let us remember that those gifts are ours, yes, but not to keep, to share. Now. Amen.